You're listening to the Take Your Shot podcast, a podcast for wedding photographers and videographers looking to grow and scale their business. I'm your host, Hallie Heather, and my goal is for you to walk away feeling empowered and inspired as you continue to build a business that you're passionate about and that serves both you and your clients well. So whether you're operating as a side hustle or you're looking for tips and tricks on how to improve and scale your business, you, my friend, are in the right place. You don't have to figure it all out on your own, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to another episode of the Take Your Shot podcast. Today, I'm bringing on Eden Strader, and we're going to be talking all about artificial lighting. It's one of those topics where I feel like not enough people talk about it, so I'm really excited for this conversation today. So, Eden, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Oh my gosh, yes. First of all, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Eden Strader. I am a destination wedding photographer turned business coach. I have been in business for, this is going to be like a decade this year, which is super exciting. But I specialize in helping creatives, specifically photographers, build sustainable businesses that they love that can be used as a tool to build their dream life. So a lot of my coaching and teachings are based on the principle that like we should have beautiful lives outside of our businesses, and our businesses can be an incredible tool for building that. So I'm all about helping people fall in love with their craft, their brand, their business, and then therefore working towards a better life. So yeah, that's a little bit about me and what I do.
I love that so much. And I think it's so true. Like, I think so often we can become so consumed with the business that we forget about the life outside of it. Like, oh, we should maybe have some hobbies. We should actually like make sure that our business isn't taking away every single part of who we are, but really like giving life back to that. So I just love that perspective. And I just think it's such a good way to just like approach business in general. So, man, I'm so excited for this conversation today. So, Eden, I would love to just like talk a little bit about your specialty, which is artificial lighting. I know that's a topic that you're really passionate about, and that's what we're here to like learn about today. So do you want to just like share a little bit more about kind of like what is artificial lighting and why is it important for people to master in the photography space?
Yeah, so I really fell in love with lighting of all kinds in the beginning of my career. Like, I really started by falling in love with harsh light. I would say like harsh light was like my first love. Like, I love shooting like 5 hours before sunset, like when it's still pretty overhead and light and bright. And after that, started diving into artificial light a little bit more. And I can like honestly and confidently say that artificial light is one of my favorite things of all time. I think as photographers, we get really hung up on natural light and photographing what we have to work with, especially in the beginning of our career. It is honestly like a really easy crutch and like tool to like making sure we have beautiful photos. If we're shooting exclusively, let's say at sunset or in the shade or what have you, like it's fairly easy to make those look beautiful. But at the end of the day, as photographers, not only is it our responsibility to be able to like handle any situation that we get put in, but one of my favorite quotes about photography, I don't know the exact quote. I should look it up considering it's one of like my favorite things to reference. But it's basically talking about how photographers are painters with light. Like, we use light to paint an image. And if we are photographers that only know how to utilize the light that is given to us, i.e. natural light, like that doesn't say much about us as artists and creatives. And like, it really takes away a huge opportunity for creating beautiful imagery. And so I'm really passionate about artificial light because, one, you can make it look like anything, and we can like get into that. But like, I think a lot of people come into it with this, you know, JCPenney's Uncle Bob look in mind, where they're like, oh, it's going to look really chintzy, really cheesy. And that's not the case. You can make it look like literally anything you want. So not only is it amazing artistically and for the sake of your creative expression, but it is also a huge weight off your shoulders. And that is like the first and foremost like tool that I really try to drill into people's heads, especially if you're any sort of event photographer, wedding photographer. The day is going to come where you can't shoot natural light. Like, I promise that day is coming. I've talked to and worked with so many photographers that are like, I'm never gonna have to use that. Like, I've been good so far. And I'm like, if you're good, if you've been good this far, like, congratulations, but that is very much like luck. And the day is going to come where you need to know this skill. And so it's so much better for you to get ahead of that curve rather than having to troubleshoot or panic the day of someone's event or, God forbid, wedding. You're like trying to learn a new skill on the job. So that's a little bit about like how I fell in love with artificial light and like why I'm so passionate about it, because it, again, it really is twofold in its greatness, which is just that, like, it's going to save your portfolio, it's going to save your jobs, but it's also going to open up this door for so many almost limitless opportunities for artistic expression.
I love that perspective, especially just knowing that, like, yeah, if you can conquer lighting in any scenario, like, really nothing's going to hold you back. And you owe it to your clients. You don't only owe it to yourself and, like, the art behind it, but, like, your clients too, especially what you were saying with it's just like the wedding day. Like, you should not be in a situation on a wedding day where it's like, oh, I'm not capable of shooting this, or oh, I'm underprepared for that. Because these are irreplaceable memories. These are irreplaceable events. These are things that people are investing a ton into and hiring you as the expert to document. And so, absolutely, it is such a necessary skill. And, you were talking a little bit about people having kind of these misconceptions about what artificial lighting is, like kind of like this old school type like approach. But do you want to kind of talk through what are some of the misconceptions you find that people have that are like holding them back? And what would you say are like the truth behind it to kind of help them get over those like mental blocks?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm like in, I really started teaching artificial light back in probably like 2019. So it's been like 6 years now, which is crazy. And I have heard it all. Like, truly, I have heard it all. Like, if I don't list off your reason for not getting involved in artificial light, DM me because I promise I have a response. Like, there's truly no excuse for not getting into it. So I love walking through them so we can kind of like ease people's worries as they get into it. So, I mean, number one is accessibility. And that is just like the barrier to entry, even financially, into shooting artificial light. And this was something that was really tough for me in the beginning because I started my career, like I said, like 10 years ago. And for those that were in the industry 10 years ago, and even if you weren't, but if you were, you know that there wasn't education back then. Like, there were not courses, there were not a lot of people teaching, there weren't really workshops. Like, it was a very different industry than we're seeing now. And so a lot of the beginning of my career was very much like trial and error and like DMing photographers I admired to be like, would you be willing to like throw me a bone and like tell me what gear you use? And I can't say it was the most community over competition industry back in the day. Like, sometimes you would get someone really nice that would be willing to share, but like a lot of people were very touch and go with the information they would share with younger photographers. And so I blew through probably thousands of dollars trying to find my flash setup that I now have. And I'm obsessed with the flash setup I have now. I can give you a link that you can put in the show notes or whatever that like shows all of our gear. But it's very accessible. And that's like one of the most important things for me as an educator is making sure that you can develop this tool and this skill set without having to spend thousands of dollars. Because that was a answer I was getting often, was like links to setups that were like $2,000 to $3,000. And as a 21-year-old, like, I did not have that. Like, I did not have a spare $3,000 sitting around. So it's really important to me that it's accessible. So I actually recommend like one of two flashes. Like, let's say you have less than a $100 budget, that's okay. Like, get a newer NEEWER flash. They're like $60. I'm sad because they used to be like 30, but they've gone up now. But 60 is still a great deal. They take a ton of AA batteries. You're going to want to buy rechargeable ones, but like, that will just get a flash on your camera, even if you have less than $100. Like, that's just going to get a flash on your camera. It's not the best flash, but it's a good one, a good enough one. And then I go one step above. I shoot with a Godox V860. I love her. I have like five of them. They're, I want to say, like $150. And then I shoot off-camera flash with remotes and triggers. And I have a Westcott Rapid Box, a 26 inch. And you can get like my entire setup for less than, probably less than $300, definitely less than four. And so I know that's still a lot of money, but it is a lot more accessible than some setups are. And I always tell people, I'm like, a flash, even just a flash going on your hot shoe is better than no flash. Like, it's going to be better than nothing. So just get what you can, and then you can build up to a bigger kit. So that's like one of the biggest concerns I hear from people when we first start talking about artificial light is like, how am I going to afford it? So that's a list of my setup. The second is like what I mentioned earlier of like, I'm a natural light photographer. Like, how am I supposed to make this blend into my portfolio or, you know, look similar to the work I'm already producing? Like, I don't want this super bold look or let's say this like really studio looking look. And that's okay. Like, that is not for everyone. You're right. Like, if you are an exclusively natural light photographer that's been shooting in the shade or at golden hour exclusively, like, there are flash looks that are not going to be cohesive. However, when you master flash, especially off camera flash, which is like my specialty and what I love getting people on, you can make the light look like anything. Like truly anything. I have sessions, I have weddings that like people don't even realize are artificial light because I know how to bounce my flashes correctly. I know where to set my, you know, softbox. I know what settings I need to have. I know what settings I need to change to have a more contrasty look versus a more light and airy look. Like there's so much that you can do with it. And then the third one that I get often is just like, how am I going to carry all this gear? And like, how is it not going to be like super distracting for like wedding guests especially? And one, my entire setup I can carry in a tote bag. Like my career was really heavily based, especially like the first 5 years, on destination weddings, so I was traveling a lot, and I'm just a girl. Like, I'm not trying to like carry around 200 pounds of gear. Like, so I have a really light setup. Like, the setup that I just described is super light, it's super easy to carry around. I would just toss it in my suitcase and it was fine. And as far as like distracting guests go, that's a conversation to have with your clients, right? And like something that becomes a comfort level. Like, I know how to set up my flashes behind or next to poles or like pillars to make sure that I'm not blocking people's views, or, you know, having a conversation with my clients before the wedding day on like, you know, is anyone epileptic? Do I need to be concerned about flashing lights, right? Because that's a different conversation. But yeah, I'm like, when it comes to distracting guests or feeling intrusive on a wedding day, like, those are things to talk to your clients about. And when you set expectations properly with your clients, you can't really do anything wrong when you stay within those expectations. So those are the objections I usually hear when it comes to artificial light.
Man, yeah, no, that's totally real. And I think, I mean, I've heard those before too. And I think a lot of people can feel really intimidated by like the technical or the cost or, yeah, just even just like the logistics of it. So thanks for just kind of like giving a brief overview of that, because I think that's really helpful for people to hear. Like, yes, these things don't have to stop you. Now, if someone's thinking, man, I'm really inspired and I really want to like start getting down the basics, like, how would you recommend them? Like, where should they begin?
Yes. So, similar to shooting in manual, shooting artificial light is a like muscle memory skill you have to develop. It's one of those things where at first it's going to feel really overwhelming and really intimidating. However, once you practice and you master it, it truly is like shooting in manual, where you don't really have to think twice about it anymore. So I always tell people, I'm like, do not test this on an event or a client or anything like that. You actually don't even have to test it on a person. So I usually recommend to all of my students and clients, I'm like, get a flash first and foremost, like secure that flash, and then shoot in your house. Like, make your pet sit in the middle of the room. Actually, just grab a plant and put it in the middle of the room. Like, you don't have to practice on human beings in order to learn this technical skill. You're going to want to test it on human beings before you test it on a paying client. But like, when it comes to just starting and practicing, give yourself as little pressure as possible, right? And like, for a lot of us, it can feel like embarrassing or really daunting to like learn and fail at something in front of other people, which is why I always am like, do it in your house, do it with a plant in the middle of your living room, and start building this muscle of like, what happens when I get closer to my subject? You know, the flash is getting brighter. What happens when I move further away? Okay, the light is getting darker, or it's like not as powerful. If I'm doing off-camera flash, you know, the closer that is to the subject, the more contrasty and bright it's going to be, whereas further away, it's going to be more spread out, softer, and lighter. Same with changing your flash settings up and down. That one's a little bit obvious as well. And then similar to shooting in manual, we have a lighting triangle, or we have like an exposure triangle, just like you do when you shoot natural light. And so when it comes to flash, those settings work a little bit differently. For sure, ISO is going to change the overall light coming into the frame. So you raise it and it's going to make the flash look brighter and the ambient light brighter. The same is with aperture. It's going to change the overall. And where people really get hung up is the shutter speed. And that changes a lot within an image, because that is only going to affect the ambient light coming into the frame. So think of it like the shutter speed is freezing the flash in the frame. But since the flash is only going off once, it's like capturing that. And then it's done and it's just letting in ambient light. So when you have a really slow shutter speed, you're getting a ton of ambient light in. So let's say you're shooting a first dance with flash and there's a ton of ambient light going on. You're going to want a bit of a faster shutter speed. Otherwise, it's going to look blurry because it's going to let in too much ambient light. So that's when you want to be shooting like 1 over 200, which is a typical sync speed for flash as well. If you've ever shot flash and gotten frustrated because there's a black bar across your photos, that's likely because you went over 1 over 200 and the flash didn't have time to spread out. But then let's say you want a shutter drag image, right? We've all seen those images on a dance floor where it's pitch black other than the subject with like string lights, you know, everywhere in the background. That's what's called a shutter drag. And their shutter was likely at like 1 over 10. And that's because it was nearly pitch black other than the string lights behind them. So that flash froze the subject in the moment. You move your camera around while the shutter's open and we get that string light effect. So you're really going to want to practice, and I can send you the link to our freebie as well that like has all of this in a PDF. So don't feel like you have to like take notes and remember this right off the top of your head right now. But like those settings change very specific things. And again, it will become muscle memory, how you need to balance them all out in order to get the look you're achieving. And you get that through practice. So like give yourself a really low stakes opportunity to practice these things and give yourself a lot of patience while you master a completely new skill.
I love that. And I think what's going to set you apart from, you know, other creatives is just like being willing to, kind of going back to what we were saying before, is just like being willing to be bad at something, like being willing to be a beginner at something. I think it's so easy to like master something, get bookings, and then kind of get into a rhythm and kind of get complacent because, well, it's gotten me this far. So why change anything? Why add anything? Why do more? And I think that's just such a disservice to, yeah, our business and ourselves and our clients, and just it really puts a limit on things. And so I just absolutely have loved this conversation of everything you've been saying about just like getting out there, get uncomfortable, try things. Like you don't need to try it at a wedding or something for the first time. In fact, you shouldn't. Like do it at home, put in the work. Like you owe it to yourself and your clients to do that. Like, oh, I love it. I love it so much. Now, I know we were talking a little bit more about like some of the gear, but is there any other specific like gear recommendations or things that you think like, okay, you have to have this in your kit to get started?
I mean, flash is always going to be number one. I kind of have like a checklist I go down for people. So I'm like, let's say you're starting again at like $100 or less, grab that newer flash. If you have the budget for the Godox V860, get that. Once you're done with that, invest in triggers and remotes. So instead of the flash going on your hot shoe, you're going to put like a receiver there a remote there. And then you're going to put your flash on a receiver on a tripod somewhere. And that's how you start your off-camera flash kit. And then let's say you have more money to invest and you're ready to move on to the next tool, then get the softbox. I will say that softbox is the love of my life. Like I'm like, if you have it in budget, please get it. It will absolutely change the dynamic and look of your artificial light work. The light that comes out of it is so dreamy and creamy and natural looking. The one that I shoot with has a beauty dish inside of it. So essentially your flash is bouncing off the beauty dish, back into the softbox, then back out of the softbox. And every time our light has the opportunity to bounce, it spreads out and gets airier, basically. I'm like, I don't know if airier is a word, but like lighter and like softer. So I love the softbox. I recommend I do think it's a non-necessity. So like do that last if you're working on a limited budget, but like if you have the budget for it, absolutely get it. It will change the look of your photos.
I love that. I love that so much. Okay, so we've talked through a lot of different things regarding artificial light. Is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with before we wrap things up?
Oh my gosh, just experiment. And I mean that like that applies to everything in your business. That is like such a huge conversation I'm having with my coaching clients right now with the start of the new year is like you said, we get really comfy as artists and business owners in doing what's working for us, but that is like not the purpose of life, nor like creativity. And like for the sake of you as a human and an artist, like try new things, be okay failing, learn from the mistakes. They don't mean anything about your value or your worth. It's just a learning lesson. So yeah, keep pushing yourself as an artist, as a human, as a business owner. There are so many beautiful ways to express yourself and capture things and learn that you will never see if you don't try and like sometimes fail. And that's fun too. So yeah, just experiment. It's so much fun.
I love that. Yeah, I have a sign in my office that says make bad art. And it's just been like my anthem. I get to my encouragement. It's like you don't have to love everything, but like you have to have those like rough drafts. You have to have those practice. Like you have to get those reps in. And like it's like a lot of pressure to put on yourself as an artist to make everything like worthy of framing or worthy of printing. It's like, no,
Absolutely.
but you have to get into that creative, like, okay, I'm gonna get my hands dirty. I'm gonna do this. And it's gonna like make a little bit of bad art before you get to the good stuff. So yeah, no,
Absolutely.
I
I
love
love
that.
that.
So good. Well, okay. This has been so great, Eden. Thank you so much for everything you've shared today. For people who want to learn more or connect with you, where can they find you and what types of things do you have to offer?
Yeah, so like I said, we have a huge flash photography freebie. It's called Let's Get Lit. I can send you the link. You can find it on my website. It's just edenstrader.com. You can find me online at Eden Strader. We also have a podcast where we talk about being self-employed and the way that it influences our personal lives and our business. We talk about like all things personal, all things business, all things in between. It's called That's My Personal Business. So you can find that anywhere you listen to a podcast. And yeah, slide into my DMs, ask me a question anytime. I love getting to know new people. I'm an extrovert through and through. So I'm like, come say hi, introduce yourself. I would love to be online or real life friends.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Eden. Seriously, it's been so fun. I love seeing your cat around in the background, just climbing around.
I just got her like a few weeks ago, so she's still like learning the ropes while we're on podcast episodes. So I'm glad you got to say hi.
Oh, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So thank you so much. And for everyone listening, we'll see you guys next week.